Great. Thanks, Rose. Hi, everyone. As you just heard, I'm Amy Shillard, and I lead special index research and evaluation work. And today I'm going to talk to you about what we're doing to address the health needs of people with intellectual disabilities in developing countries. And I have no relationships to disclose. So during this presentation, I just want to briefly give you an overview of Special Olympics, and then I want to dive right in and talk about our health programming. I'm going to talk about our main model of health programs, which is called Healthy Athletes, and then talk about our new initiative called Healthy Communities. I'm going to also talk to you about the results from a policy survey we did recently and talk to you about some next steps. As most of you probably already know, Special Olympics is an international organization that provides year-round sports training and competition opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities. What you may not know, though, is Special Olympics' current reach. Special Olympics started in the U.S. with just a few people with intellectual disabilities and now reaches over 4 million athletes around the world. When a lot of people think of Special Olympics, they think of our World Games, which happen every 2 years, like the Olympics. But in fact, we're also about local opportunities that we're providing every single day. So just last year, Special Olympics had 70,000 competitions, which averages to more than 190 competitions every day. So we're really about change at the local level. We also have more than 1 million coaches and volunteers, and our programs are in more than 170 countries. So we've really become a global movement. Special Olympics is known for sports, but we also have a lot of non-sports initiatives, including Healthy Athletes. Healthy Athletes is a program that was started in 1997 to combat the health disparities faced by people with intellectual disabilities. This is moving on me, so I'm going to go back a little bit. Healthy Athletes provides free health screenings, education, and referrals for follow-up care to Special Olympics athletes in 7 different health areas. Like Special Olympics, Healthy Athletes did originally start in the United States, but it has expanded pretty rapidly, and we've now conducted 1.4 million health screenings in 121 different countries. We've also trained more than 120,000 healthcare professionals specifically on how to work with this population. And additionally, we've aggregated the screening results into the world's largest database on the health of people with intellectual disabilities. And right now, we have more than 500,000 screenings in our data system. So what do our data show? These are just some examples of what our data show on the global level. You can see here that almost 40% of Special Olympics athletes have untreated tooth decay, 14.5% need urgent dental referrals, almost a quarter have never had an eye exam, 26.6% fail hearing screenings, over 30% are obese, and actually that number goes up to about 75% if you add in overweight, and 22.7% have low bone density. So this is, we collect hundreds of variables at our screening, so these are just some examples. But these are what the data show on the local level, on the global level. But we realize that since Healthy Athletes was originally a U.S. program, some of the health issues we cover are not necessarily the health issues that are relevant or best to cover in other areas of the world. So we wanted to do a better job taking a look at some of the differences in our data, and so I'm going to show you now some results where we split developed countries and developing countries. I just want to mention that for purposes of what I'm about to show you, we use the World Bank definition of developed and developing, so we split by income level by country, but we, of course, could have done this several different ways and hopefully will in the future. So one of our main results was the difference in oral health issues in developed and developing countries. What you can see here are that when it came to reported mouth pain, 20% of Special Olympics athletes in developing countries had mouth pain compared to just 11% of athletes in developed countries. 52% of Special Olympics athletes in developing countries had untreated tooth decay compared to just 26% in developed countries. And when it came to needing urgent dental referrals, 19% of athletes in developing countries needed urgent dental referrals compared to just 10% in developed countries. We also saw disparities in access to care. I mentioned earlier that about a quarter of our athletes report never having an eye exam. But when you split that up between developing and developed countries, over 50% from developing countries report never having an eye exam, compared to just 7% from developed countries. And actually, if you look at just the U.S., that number goes down to about 5%. But of course, not all health issues were actually worse in the developed countries. I'm sure no one's really surprised to see that obesity is more prevalent in developed countries. So what you can see here is that almost 40% of athletes from developed countries were obese, compared to just 10% in developing countries. And low bone density and failing hearing tests were two health issues that were also worse in developed countries, although the differences weren't as big as obesity. So what is Special Olympics doing to address these problems? We're doing a lot of different things, but one step that's in the right direction is our new Healthy Communities Initiative. And Healthy Communities was just launched last fall in 2012, and the initiative has two main goals: to improve the health of people with intellectual disabilities and to improve their access to care and access to health wellness resources. Healthy Communities, and I'll talk a bit more about it, but it basically builds on our existing Healthy Athletes program, but it allows sites to focus on the health issues that are most relevant to them locally and also allows them to pick their own strategies for addressing those problems. So here you can just see some of the big differences between our traditional Healthy Athletes model and Healthy Communities. And I just want to add that we are still doing Healthy Athletes, so Healthy Communities is something that we're using to build on our existing program, but we're not getting rid of our existing program anytime soon. So as I mentioned, Healthy Athletes is really about screening events. So it's episodic screening events that are really focused on screening, identifying, and referring, whereas Healthy Communities is focused on continuous year-round health with a lot of focus on care and education. And specifically on that education piece, Healthy Athletes really focuses on the person with intellectual disabilities, which is great, but Healthy Communities are able to identify other people who might be helpful to educate, such as family members and coaches. Like a lot of public health screening programs, we have limited referral ability. One of our biggest challenges is that we identify need, refer, and then have no idea if those people went to the doctor or saw a healthcare professional. And so one emphasis in Healthy Communities is building continuing care partnerships to make sure people get the care they need. I mentioned the Healthy Athletes is focused on university-relevant issues, whereas Healthy Communities really allows programs to focus on what's most relevant locally. I think the best example of this is our Healthy Athletes program actually doesn't include anything involving infectious diseases, but of course a lot of our Healthy Communities are really interested in focusing on that. And with the introduction of Healthy Communities, we're also trying to look at ways we can improve our data. The data I showed are really static, snapshot in time, and we're really interested in being able to look at athlete health over time. And so we're working right now on creating unique identifiers and being able to create a longitudinal health system that hopefully will have bigger impact. And additionally, we're piloting the use of technology and specifically text messages to track follow-up care better in our programs. So our Healthy Communities, we currently have 14 sites that are funded for 3 years to be Healthy Communities. We have 6 sites in the United States. We have Arizona, Florida, Wisconsin, Kansas, New York, and New Jersey. Outside of the U.S., we have Peru, Mexico, Romania, Kazakhstan, Thailand, Malaysia, South Africa, and Malawi. So we have 14 sites total. And as I mentioned, although Healthy Communities all share the same goal, they are all implementing different strategies to achieve that goal. It's probably not surprising to hear that some of the implementation strategies in the U.S. are very different than the strategies being used outside the U.S. In the U.S., overall, there's a much bigger focus on community wellness. So getting people with intellectual disabilities into existing programs within the community is a really big focus in the U.S. Outside the U.S., there's a much bigger focus on family education and reaching people with intellectual disabilities and healthcare professionals who we haven't reached through our traditional programming. So here are some of our global results from year one. You can see that Healthy Communities globally have screened over 5,000 Special Olympics athletes in new locations, and in a lot of cases, these are people who might not have ever seen a doctor before. We have also trained over 2,000 family members, coaches, and athlete leaders as health advocates for this population. We've referred 739 athletes to specific healthcare providers. So that's the piece I was talking about earlier about instead of just giving them a referral, we're trying to really refer them into to a specific partner or specific provider. We've also trained over 3,000 healthcare professionals and students. So we've done a lot. These are just some examples of our results. If anyone's interested, I can share a lot more with you. But another thing that I haven't really talked about is we also have a focus on actually changing policy. A lot of our communities are working to change all sorts of different types of policy. We're doing work in public policies, trying to actually change governmental policies. There's also a lot of work being done trying to change organization policies. Also a lot of work with universities, so maybe trying to change the curricula that universities have to try to incorporate our population into university policies. And so as part of the work, as we're moving forward this initiative, we did a survey of all of our programs, so not just healthy communities, but all of the Special Olympics programs, to see what they're doing in the health policy arena. So I just want to really quickly talk you through some of these results. And they're split up by developed and developing countries. So really, I don't want to spend too much time. I know I only have a couple more minutes, but basically, this just confirms that the methods being used and the strategies are different in developed and developing countries. Although you can see here that a large number of countries really focus on raising awareness via media to change policies. Developing countries were more likely to meet with organizational leadership and more likely to participate in community meetings. And one thing that was interesting to us, you can see that over a third of countries reported using our healthy athlete screening data to talk to policymakers. So that was just an interesting result for us. We also asked our programs what types of policies they're trying to influence. You can see here that developing countries were more focused on policies involving access to health education, promotion services and resources, and also policies that involved access to health care. And interestingly, both developed and developing countries seem to be about equally focused on policies looking at increased access to physical activity and enhancing training of health providers and students. In the same survey, we also asked our programs to rank the most important health issues that they think their population's facing in their country or state. And it was not surprising to us that among developed countries, obesity was the first health issue. It was a little surprising to us that the first issue in developing countries was personal hygiene, not because we think it's not important, but and it's obviously related to infectious disease, but we were a little surprised that some infectious diseases that we had been focused on didn't show up here. And you can see that a couple other issues raised by developing countries were access to safe water, sanitation, and physical therapy. We also asked them to rank their biggest access to healthcare challenges for their population. And not surprising, countries across the board listed lack of financial resources as their biggest challenge. And for the most part, the primary challenges listed really involved lack of caregiver family knowledge about people's need for care. But one thing that we were surprised by is that in developed countries, they listed lack of transportation as a big challenge, but that wasn't actually in the top five for developing countries. And we were surprised by that, so it's definitely something we want to look into more. So what are our next steps? This is just sort of a snapshot of what we're doing. And so we have a lot of next steps, but here are just some of our immediate ones. We're working on continued capacity building in healthy communities and other programs. This capacity building involves our programming, but also our ability to evaluate the impact. And I didn't talk much about our evaluation now, but I'm happy to talk about it more if anyone's interested after. We're also looking to expand our Healthy Communities Initiative, both in terms of the work we're doing within the sites that I mentioned, but also to bring it to other countries. We want to follow up on some of these policy survey results, especially on some of the surprising findings that I mentioned. We want to do some country-level data analysis. I mean, what I presented, of course, was groups of countries blocked together, and we realized that that's not necessarily the best way to group them. This is just the first step. And so we're hoping to look deeply at some of the country-level results. We're also really focused on continued partnership development. It's not something I talked a lot about during this presentation, but we really feel that local partnerships are the way to keep this program sustainable. So that's it for now. Thank you for this opportunity, and I look forward to discussing further.